This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Christine Wong, and you're listening to Enterprise on BFM 89.9. You know, I carry three things into the office every day. I get my handbag, I have my purse, and I have my laptop bag. And there are a lot of options for bags out there, but I've also noticed that there are usually more options for women when it comes to variety and utility. I guess things must be changing because OriBags.com is an online retailer that sells and collates men's bags. Over the course of 5 years, they've grown from selling only 5 brands to over 50, and they've accomplished all this with a really small team and a lot of hard work. Today, we speak to founder and CEO Jeff Dunn and the marketing and PR lead Jun Ng about leaving engineering for entrepreneurship, being nominated for awards in e-commerce, and the business of all things bag. Jeff and Jin, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello. Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, absolutely. No problem. It's a pleasure to have you. So can you guys tell us about your journey previous to founding Ori Bags? Because Jeff, I was reading an article about you in the New Straits Times, and it said that you actually displayed a natural inclination towards entrepreneurship at a young age, but you didn't pursue it until further into your career. So what changed your mind?
Okay. When I was young, you know, I always have this entrepreneurship inside me.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually, the first time that I actually got a little bit of light on this e-commerce thing was when I was in my school days. So we actually was in a family vacation in Malacca, and actually I stumbled upon these Snoopy toys by McDonald's. And that time they were doing the clearance, you know, they were just selling at 50 cents per piece. So I decided to, you know, give it a shot. Like, this is our limited editions, and I just borrowed a loan from my dad, about 200 ringgit, you know, and I bought the whole thing up.
Okay, right, I see. Yeah. And then what did you do with it?
And the time, you know, during that time is probably in the early 2000s. The time, the e-commerce site is very sad. There's only eBay, you know, not like today, you know, where we have so many marketplaces. So the time, my idea was to put it up in eBay as a complete set. And someone from the other side of the world, like US, bought from me. And that set that I sold was actually close to like 20 times the value that I paid for.
Wow.
Because, yeah, of the US dollars, you know, and stuff like that. So, and it's, they didn't know that, you know, it was limited edition. So all this, you know, makes me really want to get into the e-commerce scene. Yeah, so it all started when I was still in school then.
Right, but after kind of your main chunk of your career was in engineering, right? So
yeah.
How did you kind of go from entrepreneurship to engineering to entrepreneurship again?
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, actually, I have 5 years of working experience. I started as an engineer in the blue, in the steel mill. And after that, I went to a cigarette company. And after that, I hopped into IT. So these three jobs that I had, you know, there's always a part of me that, you know, I'm not very happy about, because, you know, of all the traffic jams and also all the long hours at work. So I was a bit of a, you know, I always wanted to do something on my own. And also the entrepreneur spirit when I was young is still there. So I knew that one day I'll come out and do something on my own.
So Jin, if you can tell us a bit more about this, what is Ori Bags' main concept and why do you guys sell bags specifically?
Well, I think it all started out from there were a lot of touch and goes in terms of what kind of products to sell. I think when he started out, he was selling everything from plush toys to model airplanes to T-shirts. And then I think when he, after so much testing, I think we landed at bags, and we realized that with bags, is very, how should I say, it's not time sensitive, whereby, you know, there's a season for certain things. A lot of bags, especially when it comes to men's bags, laptop bags and hiking bags, most of these things are like, you know, very evergreen. You know, they stay the same way for like years, and because it's been that way for years, for some 40 years, some brands have remained the same way for at least 50 years, and that becomes a novelty to people. So for us, we see like a uniqueness in things like that. And of course, from a business sense, it makes more business sense, like if you don't mind me saying. But you know, for us, that's why we decided to stick to bags. And of course, we are always on the lookout for really unique brands. And I think in Malaysia, we see a great potential in the use of bags as well. So yeah, that's one of the main reasons.
So I suppose you would say that bags specifically, they don't necessarily go out of style and they're used as a utility, right? So everyone needs a bag at some point in their life.
Definitely.
It's not a trend that goes out of style, right?
Definitely. And it's not so much like women's handbags. Like, you know, women's handbags, you know, we have like at least, I think every woman has at least 3 to 5 handbags, you know, to switch around and, you know, for different occasions and all that. Whereas for, like you said, it's a utility. Like if you're looking for a laptop bag, you want to look for something that really lasts a long time, that can protect your gear, that, you know, you don't have to worry about wear and tear, that has a long warranty. So things like that. And I think where bags like this come into play, well, that's why most of it is men's bags. We don't, like, you know, intentionally choose to buy men's bags, maybe because Jeff was the founder. That's why the bags that he saw was naturally men-based before I came in. So, I think that's where, you know, the basis of where, you know, all these bags come from.
Right. So since you source a lot of your brands internationally and such like, what would you say are the most popular styles or brands of bags in Malaysia?
Okay, for Ori bags, we sell a lot of laptop backpacks. Mainly the laptop backpacks are used for work or also traveling. So guys like, you know, in their mid-20s or 30s when, you know, they are young professional, they will want a very good looking bag that can last a long time and also is very stylish as well. So they can actually like show off to their colleagues or they can even bring overseas for a short vacation. So mostly it's laptop backpacks with slightly bigger so that it can fit like maybe a weekend getaway somewhere.
So would you say that kind of young male workers kind of around ages 20 to 30-ish, would you say that's your main demographic?
Yes.
Definitely.
They are men and they are between 20 to 30. Yeah, and most of them are professionals because our bags are mainly premium brands. So they range from 300 to all the way to 2,000. Yeah, so that's our range right there.
Right, I see. So from what I understand, you guys actually started out only working with 5 brands, right? So which 5 brands did you start out with and how did you get them on board?
Yeah, okay, this is quite a funny story because, you know, when we first started the company, not many brands would like to work with us. We are not like a funded company. We don't win awards on the first day and stuff. So we started small, as you say, 1 person, and now we are a team of 5. So I was like going around and asking, would you allow me to carry your brand in our shop? You know, and when they see like, oh, you are just an online shop, we are not interested. So of all the brands that, you know, I approached in my early days, only 5 brands that actually came on board. You know, and I can't mention names, but they are still with us today. And we really, really treasure the partnership of these brands because they are the ones who gave us a start at the beginning. And nowadays, we have, as you say, 50 over brands, and it gets a bit easier to get brands on board, but we still have to knock on their door sometimes, you know, to get them, you know, to come to us, you know, yeah, convince them to sell with us.
So you were saying that your team is pretty small. It has only 5 people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Who does what in your team?
Okay, basically, for our team, it's very simple, you know, because we are so small, and I always like a team which everyone works together as a really whole unit.
Like a family.
So I So whenever I hire any staff, I would say that you are joining a family, not a company, because we really try our best to treat our staff like a part of the family. So we have obviously a JD for all our staff, but you know, we all try to get our hands dirty sometimes. Even I will do the packing sometimes. Okay, to answer your question, I have a finance and I have 2 fulfillment team members. So they do all the packing and shipping. And Jin is in charge of marketing and I'm basically overseeing the whole operations. But you know, as I say, on days when our orders get really, you know, our hand, I'll go down and, you know, pack with them.
All hands on deck.
Yeah, all hands on deck.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's really sweet. I think it's really important to have those kinds of relationships, especially when your team is so small, because you all need to trust each other as well.
Yes.
That's right.
So, leading on from that, what are the challenges and or perks of having such a small team, and do you have any plans to grow your team further?
Right now, we are comfortable with our current team. But obviously, if let's say the orders are through the roof and we can't fulfill anymore, we definitely will hire more. The perks is actually very simple. You know, since we operate so leanly, number one, the cost is actually, you know, much lower compared to a team of 20. But also, besides the point, since we have such a small team, it's easier to change the direction of the company. So we don't have to go through a lot of processes. You know, we just have a meeting and, okay, tomorrow we'll change the look of our website. Or maybe we implement this new method or this new strategy. So that is a benefit of a small team. We are very flexible and we can actually employ a lot of strategies in a very short time.
Okay, speaking of the strategies, I think this is Jin's area, right?
Yeah.
In terms of marketing, how do you reach out to more customers as you guys are only an online based store? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, how does that work? Do you guys use like social media? How do your advertisements work? That kind of thing.
Definitely. So for, I think any e-commerce company or any online store will tell you that Facebook is probably their primary source of marketing. So when I came on board, it was definitely more use of Facebook. And then we have just started Instagram. Not too long ago. Yeah, because number one, because we are a multi-brand company, so we source our images, we get our images from our suppliers and whatnot. So we try our best to, like, basically my marketing calendar, we try our best to schedule one brand per a set amount of time. You know, and then we work together with them on a campaign. They want to do something for Raya, so we work together with them. So during that period of time, say for that 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it will be pure focus on that particular brand. But other than that, we try our best to, of course, like, you know, make it very lifestyle-ish. And then, of course, we do advertising as well. So that is a definite must for us.
Okay, that's really interesting. When we come back, Jeff and Jin from Oribags.com will go into a little more detail about the current risks and future challenges of running a bag-only business. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
Good morning, I'm Christine Wong and you're listening to Enterprise on BFM 89.9. And we're talking to Jeff Tan, the founder, and Jin Eng, the marketing and PR lead of Oribags.com, an online retailer for men's bags. So, Jeff, can you tell us which locations you deliver your products to at the moment, and do you plan on delivering to more places in the future?
Okay, we since we are an online company, you know, delivery is one of the key factors for our company. So from day one, you know, I always have the vision of sending bags worldwide. So right now, our primary market is still Malaysia, where we are based, but we do ship to many, many countries, such as Australia, USA, Singapore, our neighbours, and, you know, Indonesia as well. So they can all purchase on our website, and, you know, we do handle the logistics for them.
I see. I was also noticing on your website that there's an option for corporate orders. Can you tell us more about that? Do a lot of companies make big orders, Mori bags?
Yes, yes. That just came in, actually.
That's new, actually.
That's just new. Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
I know, that's
because,
new.
Yeah, in one of our meetings, we decided to, you know, ways to add revenue. And one of the big areas that we are missing out is actually corporate orders. So let's say if a company wants to run like a event or
annual dinner
and stuff like that, you know, and they want like 200 pieces of bags, you know, customized to their company logo and stuff, we can actually do that. We have all the suppliers in place, you know, we can get it real fast for them. So this is one area that we are really improving and giving us a lot of revenue stream, additional revenue. And yeah, so it's a very good channel right now.
Yeah,
corporate.
I mean, fair enough. Everyone at an event likes to get free stuff. And if they get free stuff that is of good quality, of course, they're going to want to continue to work with that brand, and that brand will continue to want to work with you. So everyone wins.
Everyone wins. And I think also because we started receiving a lot of requests for, you know, corporate orders, that's where we started thinking, hey, why don't we try and, you know, make something proper out of it, create like a proper ordering system from it, since we do get a lot of requests for it these days.
Right, yeah, that's definitely fair enough. And it's always important to listen to the customer, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, so, right, Oribags.com is obviously, by the name, it's only online. So what are the risks of being only online as well?
Because we are in this industry for a long time, we noticed that a lot of customers actually, they want to feel and touch the bag first. So obviously online is actually a big risk right there. You know, what if, you know, they buy the bag and they arrive at the wrong size, or, you know, the color is not as the picture. So actually we also have a retail showroom in our office. It's a small area, but it's good enough for customers to come out and feel and touch the bag, especially if it's a high price item. We definitely encourage the customers to come out and see for themselves first before making the final order. Yeah, so that is our strategy, you know, for for customers who really want to see and touch the bag before they buy.
Right, so essentially that retail showroom, which I, from my understanding, is located in Satya Avenue, yeah. Do you essentially consider that your retail shop?
Kind of our retail shop, but you know, we still have plans to open our first brick and mortar shop, but that is in the pipeline. Yeah, but right now that is actually our retail shop. Yeah, you're right.
Right, I see. Yeah.
You know, think about economy these days. So I think for us, we are trying to be as prudent as possible with what little that we have, and we're trying to be smart with our money as well, how we can invest properly. And I think investing at the right time in the right place is also very important for us. So like what Jeff said, the plans for opening a proper brick and mortar is definitely in the pipeline, because we have a lot of people telling us, why don't you open a shop? Why don't you open a shop? Open in a mall, lah. You know, a lot of people tell us that, but then I think they fail to think about, you know, the rental, I think the hiring and all those things. So for us, we really try and do what we can at best with what we have right now. And showrooming is what we can do at best right now. And it works still, because people do travel from far and wide just to come. If they love the bag, they will come and travel far and wide just to get it. It's just like food. If you love crabs somewhere, you'll definitely drive like miles and miles for crabs, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing, I think.
Right. So you have plans to expand into a brick and mortar shop in the future. So hopefully we'll see that happen.
Yep.
So would you say one of the disadvantages of opening a brick and mortar store, which you are planning to do anyway, but it's a lot of hidden costs,
yes,
right?
That's
there are
right.
a lot of things that people don't think about, because you can set up an online store and people can love your products. But when they ask for that kind of commitment, essentially, you know, can you tell us a bit more about like how you are going to go about that process?
Well, for us, I think it will be a learning process, I would say, if you ask me honestly. For us, we do not want to rush into it, because I think opening a brick and mortar store is a huge commitment. And it's not just any commitment, you know, it's something that will really tie you down. And when we do decide to really open one, we want to do it very well. You know, so I think if we got one hit, you got to make that hit count, you know, that's for sure. So for us, I think the entire process that we're going to go through right now is really one of learning and studying what other people are doing, learning from other brands, from our competitors, from our partnering other e-commerce brands as well, you know, how they started off online or vice versa, and then, you know, how they enter into the brick and mortar world. So we want to make sure that we do it right. So I think for us, the process is definitely one of really learning and continuously improving ourselves and see how we can really do this very well.
Mm. I'd like to just expand on a point that you made talking about your competitors. How does Oribag stand out from your competitors?
Well, I think for the moment, I wouldn't say we have a lot of competitors. Sorry, I think maybe I chose the wrong word to describe. I think we have a lot of, like, you know, friends in e-commerce.
Right,
you
okay,
say
yeah,
friends
yeah.
in e-commerce, you know, competitor sounds like enemy. Like.
But so, essentially, yeah, what makes your business unique is what I'm trying
correct,
to say.
Correct, understand. So I think what makes our business unique is basically, I think, the variety of brands that we have for customers. And the other one is definitely the service that we provide to customers. I think for us, we really, really, being a small brand, we really, really strive to stress on the importance of good service, whether a customer is being difficult or not so difficult, or kind customer, no matter who they are, where they come from, we try our best to give our best to them, basically. We want them to be happy.
Right. I mean, that's definitely fair enough, and something that I think all companies need to understand and make sure that they do.
Yeah.
Can you actually walk us a little bit more through how you deal with complaints and criticism?
Basically, a complaint comes in, it's not really our favorite thing to do, but it's also part and parcel of any e-commerce business, basically. And I think it's also something that we learn from, because ultimately a customer's voice, you know, they tell you things, so it's up to you whether you want to listen to them or not. So for us, I think whether it's a complaint or a compliment, we still listen to them. So when a complaint comes in, we really try our best to accommodate their requests. So let's just say whatever it is that they are complaining or unhappy about, we would really try our best to help them solve the problem if we, at best, we can.
We do love complaints sometimes, because customers really tell us a lot of things that we don't know. So if there's something wrong with how we do our business, like it could be from packing, or could be writing our consignment note, you know, or shipping a bit too late, you know, we will take that into our meeting and we'll tell the crew, our family, that, you know, we have to do something about this. You know, so sometimes complaints are quite good for the company to grow, especially if you're a small company like us. Yeah, so Yeah, we do love complaints sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the most productive way to use complaints is to use that as constructive criticism, right? Yep. And to learn from it and build from it and make sure that you don't repeat those mistakes in the future.
Yep.
So on your website, kind of deviating from that topic briefly, on your website, you guys have a rewards program. Can you guys tell us a bit more about that?
Okay, so the rewards program is also quite new. So basically what we were trying to do is to, you know, because we do have a lot of loyal customers that come and shop with us, and it is actually one of our ways to thank them and to show gratitude to them for coming back and shopping with us. So every time they purchase something, they will get points for it. And with those points, they actually get to basically get a discount in a way from the next purchase.
Okay, and have you guys seen any benefits from implementing that rewards program so far, or is it just still
it's still very new?
Okay.
Yeah, it's still very new, so we haven't yet. We hope to see results very soon, but at the moment it's still quite new, so we haven't yet seen you know, much activity from it yet.
Right. Okay. Also, you guys have partnered with online markets such as Lazada and 11th Street. Does that help to drive sales, and does that help to increase the overall profit despite potentially incurring any extra operational fees?
Actually, they are great partners, especially Lazada and 11th Street, because they are two main players in the market. And a big chunk of our revenue comes from them. As their cost, you know, they actually take a small commission out of it. But that's okay, because the volume and the sales that they do for our company is great. So they are definitely our great partners, and you know, we'd like to work more with them in the future.
All right, great. So can you just give us a bit of a rundown? What are your future plans? You know, are you going to take over the world with your bags?
We hope so.
Okay, our plan is actually very, we need to keep expanding, and, you know, we want to bring in more brands from countries that, you know, is very, very far from Malaysia, you know, such as, you know, US and Sweden and stuff like that. So we plan to be like a one-stop bag center for all Malaysians to find very, very cool bag brands. Yeah, and continue to give good service to our customers, you know, and hopefully one day, you know, we can be as...
Take over the world
with bags.
Are you guys planning on expanding your demographic from just men's bags as well, or...?
Definitely, we are looking at that, because now that we have more women on board, or bags. So we definitely... because right now, our pie is about 70-30, 70% men and 30% women. So now that we have more ladies on board the team, so we will probably have more ideas and, you know, more... how should I say? We get more input on women's brands, and then we get more ideas. So I think we're definitely looking at expanding our demographics as well. Right. And also, I think to add on to what Jeff said earlier about, you know, the plans for the future, I think diversification is definitely one of the things that we are looking at, you know, diversifying from bags, because we also have wallets, women's wallets, men's wallets. So we're definitely looking at, you know, as long as there are cool stuff, we are always out there scouring the earth looking for these brands.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. Well, Jeff and Jin, we wish you luck on your future endeavors with OriBags.com. Thank you so much for coming on our show today to talk about all things bag. It's been a pleasure having you guys on air. I'm Christine Wong, and I've been speaking to Jeff Dunn, founder and CEO, and Jin Ng, marketing and PR lead of OriBags.com for Enterprise. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.